Om Shanti. 11th September 2018, Tuesday. Today's blessing is, may you be filled with all the treasures of fortune and make the bestower of fortune belong to you by using the easy method. The method to make the bestower of fortune belong to you is to have a relationship with both Bap and Dada. Some children say that they have a direct connection with the incorporeal one, that the corporeal one has attained everything from the incorporeal one, and that they too will attain everything from him. However, this is like using a damaged key. Your fortune cannot be created without you becoming a Brahma, Kumar or Kumari. Without the corporeal one, you cannot become a master of the treasure store of all the fortune, because the bestower of fortune distributes fortune through Brahma. So know the method and become filled with all the treasures of fortune. So the method to become bestower of fortune is to have connection with both Bap and Dada, Shiva and Brahma. Some children say that they have direct connection with the incorporeal, because they say that even the corporeal attained everything from the incorporeal. But Baba is saying this is like using a damaged key, Khandit Chabi. Your fortune cannot be created without becoming a Brahma, Kumar or Kumari. Without the corporeal one, you cannot become a master of the treasure store of all fortune, because the bestower of fortune distributes fortune through Brahma. So know the method and become filled with all the treasures of fortune. So on one side is Shiva Baba, and on the other side is Brahma. In many of the Murlis, Baba has said both the things. And it is an important thing to remember that all the Sakar Murlis, they are depending upon who is sitting, what is the audience, what is the mindset of the audience. Many times Baba says, you don't have to remember Brahma at all. You have to remember only Shiva. Sometimes he says, if some children say that we directly have connection with God and we have nothing to do with Brahma, Baba says you are not going to get anything. So now why such a thing is there? Many times in Yajna, during the Baba meeting, there were some children who were probably have some differences with Brahma, and they used to say this, we have direct connection only with God and we have nothing to do with Brahma, so why to remember him? So that time Baba used to have this Murli, ki you are not going to get anything just by remembering God. You have to remember Brahma because God has incarnated in the body of Brahma. Sometimes there are those children who were present in the audience who were so much attached to Brahma that they even forgot what is God, who is God. And Brahma is just the medium, a channel through which the Supreme Power is speaking. So rather than practicing remembering the incorporeal, they got attached to the corporeal. That time you will see or hear very strong, stringent words in Murli. Like, if you remember Brahma, you will go to hell. If you remember Brahma, you will not get anything. Even Brahma is remembering Shiva, so why are you remembering any embodied being? But that is another thing. Now who is saying this? Whether it is Shiva, the God, who is saying this, or Brahma himself is saying this in Murli. So, in today's blessing, Baba is saying there are some children who believe that we have direct connection with Shiva Baba and we have nothing to do with Brahma. Baba says, you should have connection with both, and to have connection only with one, it is a damaged key, a khandit chavi. It's a damaged key. You are not going to achieve anything. Now the question is, why Shiva Baba says to remember Brahma? He is a corporeal being. He is a sakar being. And every time Baba says in Murli is that you forget all the embodied beings. You forget all the relationships of body. You forget all the relationships, connections, religion of body. Consider yourself to be a soul and then come and remembering me and remember me. So, what is the point in remembering Brahma? That is one thing. One question is this. Why at all we should remember Brahma? When he himself is remembering God, when he himself was imperfect being, when he himself was a Purusharthi, when he himself was practicing, when he himself was on the path of efforts, when he was in the corporeal form, he had not become perfect. Even there is one theory which says, even now Brahma is not karmatit. Because the ultimate definition of karmatit is to drop both gross and subtle body and as a soul go in paramdham. To reach Paramdham is the definition of being a karmatit soul. To be in the supreme abode is the definition of being a karmatit. So that is one of the definition of karmatit. There are many definitions. One of the definitions is this. To drop the body, now Brahma is in the subtle world. So even then, you cannot say that he has become karmatit according to this definition. So he needs to drop even the subtle body and go in Paramdham. So at one point, to be karmatit is the definition of perfection. So it means even now Brahma is not perfect in that, according to this definition. So why at all then we should remember him when we have been instructed time and again to remember only one, the Supreme, to become just like him, just as he is. There's a beautiful statement in Bible where Jesus says, be ye perfect, even as my Father that art in heaven is perfect. You become perfect just as my Father who is in heaven, in the perfect stage, just as the Heavenly Father is perfect, you also achieve that stage, that level of perfection without an iota of imperfection, without a trace of defect, flaw, any imperfection or anything which is less than perfect. So, the question is, why it is necessary to remember? Cannot we dispense with Brahma? Why Brahma is so indispensable? And why it is necessary to remember him? Why to remember Brahma? Because of his renunciation, because of his ultimate surrender, because of his... See, what things God is telling, most of those things are abstract. They are formless. It's very difficult for human brain to understand those abstract things, those highly philosophical teachings. Those teachings are very high. some of them may not be comprehensible. They are unfathomable, ununderstood. Brahma was the first person who showed by translating those teachings into practice. He was the first person to hear them, one, because he was very near, as he says jocularly, because he was very near. So he was the first person to put in practice all those teachings of God. He was the first person to understand those philosophical teachings. He was the first person to understand the depth of those teachings, and not just understood, but he tried to imbibe, he tried to inculcate those virtues, and he became a role model of that particular virtue. So first reason is this, that he tried to follow the teachings of the Nirakar. He tried to follow the teachings of the incorporeal. Second, what else? Why Brahma is so important here in this yajna? He was the instrument, he was the channel. He was the channel, he is the channel, and he will remain the channel. He was the only and only one channel through which God spoke. So, another question behind that is why God has spoken, chosen him. He could have chosen so many other souls. There was no dearth of great souls on this planet Earth. Even whilst Brahma was alive, at the same time Mahatma Gandhi was there. Rabindranath Tagore was there. Some years back Vivekananda was there. So many great souls were moving around. Not only in the Eastern philosophy, but also in the Western. So whether it is Oriental or it is Occidental, both places, good souls were there. But he was chosen. Why? Because God knows the beginning, the middle and the end of this drama. God knows all the births of all the souls. He was one such soul who was great in all his 84 births. Right from the first birth as Krishna to the last birth as Brahma. All the births of this soul have been very much elevated. All the births of this souls have been very much pure. Probably he had practiced celibacy for a very long time, in 5000 years. Probably he is the soul who has the highest level of purity throughout. So because of this predominance of sanskars of purity, because of this power of Brahmacharya in this soul, even in the last birth, he had retained those sanskars of purity, and he had so much love for purity, as if he is the pinnacle of purity, as if he is the culmination of purity. So, he is the channel, and all his births are great. Third reason, why Brahma is chosen. Brahma is so important in this yajna. Through his actions. So, his virtuous actions. As we said here, he became the role model here because of his actions. He was the embodiment of all virtues. And most importantly, amongst actions also, humility. This is the most important thing. He was the head of this institution. He was the head of this sacrificial fire. But there was not a trace of ego anywhere. Or he never considered himself to be head. He could have. He could have resorted to all luxuries and all the comforts and all conveniences. And he could have ordered people to do this and do that. Because everything was at his beck and call. But he preferred to stay in the most less convenient ways of living. He did not even change his dress, if you see. It was the same as it was before. He did not change his room. He could have said, I am the in charge, let me give me a big one. But he didn't say that. Whether it is food, whether it is clothing, whether it is accommodation, whether there are other comforts and conveniences, he did not demand anything. And rather, if you see, he is the one soul who died without spending an iota of money of this yajna. Doctor came later on. He died before. If you see all others, they, something or other has been done for them. But he is one soul. He died without spending a single penny of this yajna on himself. So he is the one who never misused any resources of this yajna. Any resources. Then what else? Why Brahma is so important? He led up a new example, okay. So he created an example for others to follow. He became that first himself, so that others should follow. So, he first did what God taught, so that others can follow him. Just as again in Bible, it is shown 12 hours before crucifixion, Jesus Christ is washing the feet of all his disciples. And the Peter asks, Lord, why you do this? And he says, I wash your feet so that you can wash the feet of others. To serve. Here also Baba says, I am your servant. I come as a servant. He says, salutation to all the mothers. So he comes as a servant. So Brahma showed by his example, and he did the menial of all the tasks. The lowest of the tasks, like washing utensils or sweeping the floor. He did not say that, I am in charge, I should not do this. But he did the lowest of the lowest service. Okay, what else? He was very powerful in the face of all the adverse situations. People were opposed. People were against him. They considered him to be their enemy. Not only whilst he was there in Karachi, even after coming to Mount Abu, some of the people were very much against about his behavior or ideology. You know, some of the people left yajna. Do you think they left yajna without a trace of some differences with Brahma? They left him. There must be a strong differences with his ideology, with his behavior, with his nature. Otherwise, why they will leave? Not just for the sake of earning money, but there must be internal conflict from their mind. They must not have liked some of his things. That's why he left. But in the face of all the adverse situations, when everything was going against the grain with him, yet he maintained that equitable stage of the mind. Yet he was calm, composed. Yet he was so unflappable, unrattled, undisturbed. So that is unflinching, unmovable, achaladol stage makes him indispensable in this yajna. What else? Why yajna? Brahma is so important here in this yajna? Why Baba is saying, remember Brahma? What else? Powerful, and he was fearless. He did not fear. He did not care about what the world would say. He threw away all the worldly norms and customs and traditions in one go, without caring for anything. So fearlessness, or you can say all virtues for that matter, but fearlessness is still deserves a separate attention. So fearlessness, he was powerful, He was the channel. He showed how to make the teachings of God practical. Then, what else? He never had any doubt. His faith was absolute. So he laid down the foundation for others to follow regarding faith. Such in unflinching faith in God. Even where things were going against and people were running away and things, the yajna was passing through that what is known as beggary part, and there is every chance that somebody who is responsible for about 300 children and there is not a morsel of food in the at home, one should get worried, disturbed, fearful, unsteady, doubtful, suspicious. But he was beyond suspicion. He was never in the orbit of suspicion. He remained in that stage of faith that it is God's work. It's not my work. It's not I am doing. There was once in Murli, Baba said something about India and Pakistan. And that was a little controversial. And some of the journalists came and they said, tell your Baba not to say like this. Because that can spark a controversy. Because India-Pakistan had always been a hot issue. Right from the inception. So once in Murli, such a statement came about India and Pakistan. And so some of the yajna children went to Baba and they told him, Baba, please be mild. Don't raise controversies by raising such issues. Baba said, okay, I will tell Shiv Baba not to do this. So he was so detached even in that. As if I am not doing this. It is coming from above. So that much faith, that much sense of surrender. The ultimate thing is his sense of surrender. The highest, the topmost level of surrender. To lay down one's life, to lay down one's everything at the altar of yajna is the greatest form of surrender. So he was the epitome, parakashta, the highest form, the culmination, the peak, the zenith of surrender. So that's why he is indispensable. For others to mimic, to others to copy, for others to emulate, for others to know that this is how one should be. Otherwise, how will we know? As I said, the teachings of Avyakta Murli, the teachings of God are absolutely philosophical, very high, abstract, abstruse to understand. So, he made everything simple by showing his this thing. Okay. Then again, one more thing is, he was the embodiment of love, prema avatar. What he was? He was the embodiment of love. On one side, all other things, but at the same time, he understood what souls are, their nature is. So, that love makes him little apart from everyone. There were people who were opposed to him, he loved them. There were people who tried to malign him, he loved them. There were people who were trying to drag him down, still he loved them. There were people who were trying even to kill him physically, he loved them. There were people who were casting aspersions on him, he loved them. So he loved all those. To have such a feeling of love in heart is a very difficult emotion. It's very difficult. But what level of understanding should be there for this love? And he lived in the unlimited. One more thing is unlimited. He was never coming down to that limited platform of attitude, of vision, drishti, vritti and everything. So this is all things make him indispensable. So what Baba is saying in today's Murli, to forget Brahma or to think that I have all the connection with you, Baba, is like using a damaged key, khandit chabi. Your fortune cannot be created unless and until you become Brahma Kumar. You are not called Shiv Kumar and Shiv Kumari. You are called Brahma Kumar and Brahma Kumari. You are not called Dev Kumar and Dev Kumari. You are called Brahma Kumar and Brahma Kumari. Earlier what you were? Ravan Kumar and Ravan Kumari. And now you have become? Today's Murli Baba said Ravan is a Kalyankari. Where Baba, Bap is Kalyankari. In today's Sakar Murli, one statement has come. This meeting of father and you, this is auspicious meeting. Mangal Milan. This meeting is a Mangal Milan. God and you children. But you should realize this. You have got realization, mehsusta, but like air, Hawaii. Your realization is airy. Very, very superficial. Very superficial. You should have depth of realization. This is a very good word in today's Sakar Murli. Your mehsusta is like hawa, like air. It is there and it is gone. It's evaporating, vanishing into thin air. So, to know this method and become filled with the treasure of all the fortune. Om Shanti.